I'll tell you, you have to have a strong heart. See, I get excited. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. We received in the mail yesterday a tape that had been recorded, I believe, that was said 15 years ago at a service at Kettle Creek Church, where her dad was a member who loved God and was a great man, and probably was one of the men who had one of the greatest influences on my life and influenced me toward Christ as anybody I've ever known. But somebody had salvaged and taped that particular service, and they sent it because he had given a testimony that particular day, and it was the day before he entered in the hospital, or the day he entered in the hospital. It was on Sunday morning. He entered in the hospital that afternoon, and of course he had surgery and never did get out of the hospital. He passed away. But he said in his testimony, "I feel like traveling home." And I got so blessed by listening to his voice that I hadn't heard in 15 years. I've not heard his voice. But listening to it on that tape, I thought about, I'm going to hear that voice again. Thank God we have a hope, don't we? We have a hope. I got excited about seeing him again. And that's what resurrection is all about. I knew that I was going to see him and talk to him again. You have your Bibles, you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I want to read the first 8 verses, or first 9. And then skip back with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 28th verse, and the first 7. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 1 through verse 9, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." And here's this gospel. "By which also you're saved." The gospel that he preached, the gospel that they were standing in, the gospel that they were dependent upon, said, "You've been saved by this gospel. If you keep in memory what I have preached, what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," or Peter, "then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain under this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." In Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, verse 1 through verse 7. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. The subject of my message can be found in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me talking to believers. The world will not see me anymore. And that became a prophetic truth. For after that he was crucified, the world never saw him again. But after he was crucified and resurrected from the grave, his disciples did see him. The world didn't see him, but he said, ye shall see me. The world still can't see him, but I see him. I see him. And then he finished that statement by saying, because I live, ye shall also live. And to live like he lived is to live beyond merely existence or the physical realm. I don't know what time it was, sometime at 3 o'clock, a little after on that Good Friday, somebody made the pronouncement, he's dead now. He's dead now. Perhaps it was a centurion that had been given the authority and the responsibility of seeing to the crucifixion of Jesus and the two thieves. Perhaps as he stood there and finally was persuaded in his own thinking, as he looked up at that man hanging on the central cross, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And then perhaps he said to those around him, he's dead now. Or perhaps it was one of the soldiers who had gathered around the foot of the cross and divided up his garments, watching Jesus die, being sure that he was dead. Looking around, anxious to go and leave the scene of the crucifixion. Coming to the two thieves on either side of him to break their legs that it would intensify their death. Make it faster, more sure. They came to Jesus Christ and reached up to break his legs. But they looked at one another and said, no use. He's dead now. Or perhaps it was one of the religious leaders, one of the high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who had gathered up on that hill today to watch his crucifixion, and they were so excited about he would die. This Jesus of Nazareth would soon be out of their hair. He would soon no longer be a disruptive voice. And maybe these priests, Pharisees, and scribes looked up with a smile of glee on their face and said, he's dead now. He's dead. He's dead now. I'm one of the curious crowd that had gathered there for no other purpose but just to see a crucifixion. They were spectators. They say millions came by that way that day to view the crucifixion. They were hard. They were callous. They were people that just came just to see a man die. They came to see a man's blood being shed. They came to see a man in agony. And finally, after 3 hours of darkness, the mood had changed. And there was a soberness that settled down on Golgotha's hill. There was a sense of awe that had gathered there that day. And the atmosphere was bleak. And they looked at one another and said, he's dead now.
And maybe one of the little children said, "Mama, I don't want to go home now." And the mother looked out at the little child and said, "We can go now. He's dead now." And maybe there were others that said, "We just don't want to go now." But across Golgotha's hill that day, they said to one another, "He's dead now." And finally, maybe it was one of his followers. There was Mary Magdalene standing to the side, because Roman law forbade people to show any emotions like crying at a crucifixion. And maybe standing surrounded with the other ladies, somewhere Joseph of Arimathea in the crowd, Nicodemus and disciples scattered, looking at a distance. Maybe Mary Magdalene looked at the ladies and said, "He's dead now." And Joseph said, "He's dead now. And I know what I will do. I will go and beg for his body. I will go say, 'Please, Pilate, give me his body before the Sabbath. It's getting late. It's near the Sabbath day, and we must take care of him.'" And so Joseph ran in and got an audience with Pilate and said, "Pilate, please give me the body of Jesus. He's dead now." And Pilate said, "Can he really be dead this quick?" And so Pilate sent some soldiers to Calvary, and they went to the center cross, and they looked at it, and one thrust a spear through his side. Water, blood, just out. But the word came back to Pilate from his servants and his guards, "Yes, he's dead now." And so Pilate looked at Joseph and said, "Joseph, he's dead now. You can go get his body." And so Joseph, maybe with his servants, Nicodemus, they went and they took the body of Jesus Christ from the cross and hurriedly prepared it as fast as they could for the tomb, wrapping in a shroud, carrying the Joseph tomb, and said, "He's dead now." Mary and the other Marys and women looked at him as they placed it in the tomb, and their thought was, "They didn't do enough job. We need to better prepare him." And so they thought, "Well, we'll go home, and after the Sabbath's over, we'll come back, and we'll get some spices, and we'll take care of his body better. He's dead now, but the least we can do is see that his body is well preserved for the tomb." And so from Calvary, Golgotha Hill, down through the streets of Jerusalem, the word passed from house to house, from place to place. "He's dead now. He's dead. He's dead now." And before long, it trickled out from Jerusalem to the other outskirts of Jerusalem. And finally, the word got to blind Bartimaeus. "Blind Bartimaeus, he's dead now." And blind Bartimaeus, whose eyes Jesus had opened, broke down and cried. He said, "You mean he's dead?" "Yes, he's dead now." And then the word got down to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus, the man that Jesus called from the sycamore tree, and went to his house and said, "This day is salvation come to your house." And word got to Zacchaeus in his home, and he gathered his little family around and his wife and said to him, "He's dead now. He's dead." And the kids broke down and cried and said, "Oh, he's not really dead, is he?" "Yes, he's dead now." And the little woman of Nain got word in the city, and it came to her, and she clutched her son that Jesus had brought forth from the dead, and they wept on each other's shoulders. They said, "He's dead now. He's dead now. And he gave you back to me." And then there was the leper that Jesus dared to heal. Somewhere back in the community again, the word got to him. "Hey, you remember that man that healed you? He's dead now. He's dead now." And then the man that had been by the pool for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda, word got to him and said, "The man that healed you, he's dead now. He's dead now." And the word traveled to the woman that had been caught in adultery, and brought and flung at the foot of Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to have a stone, but Jesus had compassion on her and forgave her and said, go thy way, thy sins. And they said to that woman, you remember that man who took up for you and stood for you? He's dead now. And she cried. And the multitudes that he had fed with the loaves and fishes, the word went from mouth. The man that fed you so miraculously, he's dead now. The dumb heard that he was dead now, that he had made to speak. The lame that he had made to walk, they heard. And all across Jerusalem, into Jericho, into Nazareth, into Bethlehem, the news traveled from one to one. He's dead now. He's dead now. And those that had known him, those that had served him, those that had loved him, when they heard he's dead now, they said, what are we going to do? Where will we go? What's life to us anymore? He's dead. Crushed, confused, disappointed, discouraged. They wept, they cried through the night hours. And all day on the Sabbath day, they said, he's dead. He's dead now. He who we thought was come to be the Redeemer of Israel, he's dead now. He that healed the sick, he that called and preached and walked the waters, he's dead now. All hope was gone. But early, at the beginning of the dawn on the first day of the week, we would hear a new message. The women had gotten up early. The different gospels describe it differently. No conflict, but each one gives his own view of it. It seems that on that first Easter morning, that the women had congregated and decided they'd go back to the tomb and take some spices and ointment and better prepare the body of Jesus. It seems that Mary Magdalene, as they walked along, decided that she would go before the rest. She was more nimble at feet, quicker. And somehow she spurted before the rest of them. And as she approached the garden to the place where Jesus had been placed, when she got close enough, the first thing she saw that the stone over the mouth of the tomb had been rolled away. And without waiting to find out what had happened, she skirted back, ran as hard as she could to tell Peter and John. And while she was on her way to tell Peter and John, the other women came. And as the other women came, they began to discuss with one another, who's going to remove the stone? They had remembered now the great big stone. But when they got to the tomb and discovered the stone had been rolled away, because during the night, sometimes there was an angel, an earthquake, and an angel. And the Bible said the angel came and rolled the stone away, not to let Jesus out, but to let us in. Glory. He was already out. And so they approached the tomb. And as they approached the tomb, there we have our first Easter message delivered. Quite different than the message of he's dead now. But listen with me. I could talk to you about the empty tomb. I could talk to you about the visit of the angel. I could talk to you about the soldiers who were struck down, dumb and blind and full of fear, who started back to Jerusalem to recount the story of what all had taken place. Cloud and all the rest. But look with me in Matthew's gospel to the message. There's a number of imperatives in this first Easter message, and that's what I want to share with you today, the imperatives of the Easter message. There are some things that you and I must do as a result of Easter. I want to tell you, I believe Easter ought to put us to doing something. Look at the imperatives of the Easter message. First of all, we find as these women approached the tomb, there was an angel there, two angels there, sitting there. And as they entered there, they were full of fear. They were full of confusion. But in verse 5 we find that the angel looked at them and said, "Fear not you, for I know that you seek Jesus which is crucified." I want to tell you, point number one of the Easter message to the believer is, fear not. You that seek Jesus Christ need not fear. He said, fear not. It was the very message they needed. If anybody needed the message of not fearing, it was these fearful women on that first Easter morning. And I want you to know this morning, thank God, that's the message of Easter to us today as believers. We do not have to live in fear. We do not have to live in fear. And one of the imperatives of the Easter message is, fear not. And I want you to know that God wants His believers not to be overcome with fear, but be full of faith. People are fearful of many things. There are those that are full of fear about change. There are those that are full of fear about rejection. There are those that are full of fear about commitment. There are people that are fearful of death. There are those that are fearful of the future. There are those that are fearful of failure. There are those that are fearful of success. But I want you to know Jesus Christ says, because I live, ye shall also live without fear. You believe that? Because I live, ye shall also live without fear. God wants His church not to be afraid of the devil nor his stronghold. He wants His believers to move out with the Easter assurance that we don't have to be afraid because He lives, He lives, He lives. Hallelujah. Glory. The next thing this angel said was not only you don't have to fear, but he said, I want you to come. Now, come is a welcoming word. Come is a word of invitation. Come is a biblical word. We are not to fear to come to Jesus. We are not to fear to come to Him. Did you know all of us are saved this morning because we responded to the invitation of come? And so these fearful women on that first Easter woman morning, he was saying to them, don't be afraid. You women don't have to be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified, but He's not here. And then he said, I want you to come. Come, come here. Come. And that's the message of the Holy Spirit and the church today to all the world. You can come. Listen to what the Bible says. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You believe that? Hallelujah. Come. You can come today. Listen to Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. And they that have no money, come ye buy and eat. You come. They come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I want you to tell. The Easter message has within it, come, come. Aren't you glad? So I say part of the Easter message is not only because I live, you shall also live without fear, but it says because I live, you shall also be able to come. Thank God for that part of the Easter message. That imperative that says come. I'm glad that I can lift up my hand to you, you that are out there that may not be without Jesus Christ, and I can tell you, whosoever will, let him come. Jesus says he lives to invite you to come to him. And then you remember when you responded to that invitation. Glory, I'm here because he said come. And then there's another imperative in that first Easter sermon. Not only did he say fear not, not only did he say that he's going to be a baby, but he said something else. tell people he lives without investigating the evidence. I want you to know the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the best attested facts in the Word of God. Over and over and over again, we have the facts that prove that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave on the third day, and he lives today. You believe that? Say praise the Lord. Well, I know there's several theories. There's that theory we call the hope theory. They say that the Christ never did die. He just fainted, and they took him down on the cross and put him inside the tomb, and he revived up in the tomb and then pushed that big old rock away and got away and escaped. Now, that's it. Can you imagine a man hanging on the cross for 6 hours with nails in his hands, with a pierced thrust through his side, dying in all that agony and pain, his own disciples taking him down from the cross? If there'd been one bit of life in that body, I believe Joseph would have detected it, and Nicodemus would have detected it. They would have done everything they could to revive him. They certainly wouldn't have wrapped him up in grave cloth and put him in the tomb. But I want to tell you, friends, that's not a true theory either. And then the fact, can you imagine a man that was that emaciated, had lost all that blood, been without food for 3 days, and then without water? Can you imagine a man being physically fit enough to go away and push that stone away and walk out, and then go find his disciples and show himself to them, instead of run away from him because he looked like a horror story for it? But when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he appeared in a glorified body. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. So the swoon theory is not right. And then there are those that talk about the hallucination theory. Said all of them were hallucinating. They said Mary was hallucinating. Peter was hallucinating. John was hallucinating. 500 people hallucinated at one time. And they said they didn't really see them. They were just having hallucinations. Well, that theory is not right. I want you to know, friends, thank God the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a proven fact. And on that first Easter Sunday, the angel said, we want you to come and we want you to see for yourself. That is not here. I want you to know, friends, I'm glad we got a personal faith today. See for yourself. Investigate the place. See the grave cross laying there. Not folded up, but just laying there like the body just came right through the grave cross and laid them all out there just like a body had been laying. Thank God he came out of the grave in his resurrected, glorified body. I'm glad we can come and see. We can investigate. We can be like Philip when he said Nathanael. Nathanael sneered and he said, can anything come good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, you just come and see. Or we can be like the woman that Jesus had told her everything that he met at the well and convinced her that he was the Christ. She ran back to the Samaria and gave him this testimony. Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not that the Christ? I don't know if I met a man where I'd want everybody to come to see him if he knew everything about me to start off with, please. But she was convinced. And so they came. And he said, many believe because of his word. And then he said, they said in response to her, now we believe, not because of our saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ of the Savior of the world. So the angel said on that day, not only fear, he said, not only come, but he said, come see for yourself. I want you to know, I know he lives today because I've seen. Then, my friends, another imperative of that gospel message was, go. He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. For he is risen. He is not here. For he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly. Now, I want you to know part of the Easter message is, not only that we come, not only that we see, but that we go. Too many Christians just want to come and never go. But the great command of Jesus Christ is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've got too many people that just want to come. They want to be like Peter. Lord, let's build 3 tabernacles on this Mount of Transfiguration and let us stay here. We just like to stay here. But he said, no, let's go down in the valleys. That's where the world is. That's where they need to be. And I want you to know the Easter message is not only to fear, not only to come, not only to see, but part of the Easter message is for us to go. Go into our world. And our world, friends, is the people we come in contact with. We're going to our world and solve it with our salt. We're going to our world and light it, illuminate it with our light, and season it with our grace, and warm it with our love. The part of the Easter message is, because I live, you shall also live, and I send you forth. No. And the last part of that Easter sermon, first Easter message was, go and tell. I'll give you a message. This is what I want you to tell. Tell, he is risen. Lord, fear not, come, see, go, and tell. Tell them he is risen. Hallelujah to God. Tell them because I live, they can live also. Praise his holy name. We have a message. This Easter proclaims it again. Every Sunday we proclaim the message. He lives. He is risen. Thank God he has risen to lead a great army. He has risen, my friends, to be our great high priest. He has risen to be our great shepherd, our great physician, our great healer, our great baptizer. Thank God Jesus Christ lives today. And because he lives, I live too. Because he lives, I can live triumphantly. Glory to God. I want to tell you, the devil tries to make spiritual cowards out of God's people sometimes. But I want you to know, because he lives, I can walk out into the world and say, I have the same power in me that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. Hallelujah. I have the same resurrection power dwelling in me that brought him forth over death, hell, and the grave. Can you say praise the Lord for that? He is risen. Hold your head up. Walk tall. Face the devil and say to the devil, by the authority that I've been invested in me by Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. Hallelujah. That same power, because he lives, we can lay our hands on the sick and command the Lord and heal them and set them free. You believe that? Say praise the Lord. He lives. Tell him he is risen. Tell him he lives. Then the Bible says he was declared to be the Son of God with power. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. His dying on the cross would have meant nothing to us had there been no resurrection. But he was declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Listen to what the Bible says. if you then be risen with Christ. How many of you are risen with Christ today? How many of you are risen with Christ today? Because I live, ye shall all also live. If ye be risen with Christ, if you're living in resurrection power, if you're living triumphantly, he said, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Are you risen with Christ today? Do you live with Jesus today? Have you got the Easter message? And then I join Paul in saying, because he lives, my preaching is not in vain. My preaching is not in vain. Because he lives, my faith is not in vain. Because he lives, my sins have been forgiven. Because he lives, I don't live in this world as a man most miserable. I live with hope. I live in the hope that as he was resurrected, so shall we be resurrected in a glorified body to live and reign with him forever and ever and ever. Did they get excited? Hear them say now as they go back through the streets of Jerusalem. We heard them on Friday, he's dead now. But hear the news. He lives now. And see the face of Mary Magdalene and the others, their countenance change. See somebody run to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus! He lives now. And Zacchaeus brings the kids back in. He said, I told you, he was dead, but I got to straighten it out. He's alive now. Glory. See, blind Bartimaeus, who cried and wept when they said, he's dead now. But see his countenance change, and a smile comes to his face. If somebody runs and says, blind Bartimaeus, have you heard? Have you heard? He's alive now, and I believe he had him a hallelujah that day. Holy, see the excitement that his life began to come. I want you to know he died, he was dead, but thank God, he lives, he lives, he lives. Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. I came, I saw, thank God, I know he lives because he lives within my heart. Boy, I had an Easter in 1953. I had an Easter service. He became alive. Go tell it to the people. Go tell him. Tell him he said, come. Tell him he said, stay in heart. Tell him I said, go. Tell him, because I live, they can live all. Are you alive today? How many of you back there alive? With God, we're not in a funeral. We're not in a funeral service. We're in a resurrection service. Church service has no business being like it's in a funeral. When we come together, we come to celebrate resurrection. He lives. He lives. He lives within the heart. Would you stand? Praise God. Glory, glory, he is risen. I want every head to be bowed just for a moment, and every eye closed, and I want Brother Johnny to get the song, He Lives, He Lives, He Lives Within My Heart. I wonder why every head is bowed and every eye closed.
If there's anybody in this congregation say, Brother Jack, I'm not a Christian, I need prayer, would you raise your hand? Anybody, whole of this congregation. God bless you, young man. Appreciate it. God bless you, young lady. Hallelujah. God bless you back there. That's three. Are the others? Amen. These are three adults already. Glory. Are the others? I ask God for three, at least three souls. God bless you. I ask God for three souls this morning. You that raised your hand, I want to tell you, the Easter message is for you to come. You say, Brother Jack, I'm afraid to come. So were the women, but the angel said, come on. And then his next part is say, see. You say, Brother Jack, I'm afraid. Just come see for yourself. See that he's resurrected. See that he lives. And the way that you can see that he lives is by coming and letting him save you. You that raised your hand. Saints of God, don't move now. Don't move now. I'm going to let you out of here. But now, these are four or five adults that raised their hands that need to be saved. Father, I thank you that in the name of Jesus, right now, they can be saved on this Easter day. The best thing that could ever happen to them on this Easter Sunday is for them to come and experience the living Christ. Now, I'll tell you what I want to do. Brother Johnny, I want us to sing He Lives. And the fact that He lives, it means that I want all you that raised your hand, I want you to come right down here right now. Brother Danny, would you and Brother Robert Baxter take that altar and move it a little bit over here to the side here where they can get to it better from that front pew. I believe these people that raised their hand, Christians, you're still praising. Now you that raised your hand, we have an altar here that says that you're going to come and see. I just want to invite you just to come kneel in these altars. Pray and let Jesus show you He's alive by saving you. The greatest proof that Jesus Christ is alive is resurrected people. The greatest proof of the resurrection of Christ is people that are resurrected from sin to life. Let's sing it together, congregation. Now, I'm just the angel. I'm just like the angel was on that Easter morning. I'm saying to you, come on now. We're going to roll the stones away. They are out of the way, and nothing's between your soul and your Savior. You that raised them, come on right now as we sing. Would you come? Amen. I'm going to meet you at the altar. Want you to come. Come on. Amen.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today.
God bless these two that are coming on the side. That's at least four that come. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what Easter's all about. Come on, you say, Brother Jack, I need to come. Amen. Come on. No, He lives. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, there's four, Brother Johnny, you sing something else that's a little high. There's four that's already come. Some of you raised and you're not come. Some of you here backslidden from God. You once knew Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not serving Him now. I asked God for three. I've already got four. And there's several that raised your hands that you're not come yet. Don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. Just like the angel said to those women, don't be afraid. Come on. Come on and see. You don't have to be afraid. And when they walked in there and examined that empty tomb, oh, they were so glad they came. They were so glad because later on that day they saw Jesus for themselves. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. I just want to extend the invitation a little further for you that raised your hand. You may be out there and say, I used to be really on fire for God, but I backslid. There's room for you at all. There's somebody else coming. Come on, amen. God bless you. Isn't that great? Thank God for this young lady that's coming. Amen. We'll make some room on these front pews or wherever, amen, for you people to pray. Hallelujah to God. Come on. Amen. They're still coming. They're still coming. Don't be bashful. The angel said, come. God bless us. One that's coming. That's 6 or 7. Isn't that Easter for you? Doesn't that prove Jesus is alive? Doesn't that excite you? Amen. Come on, Brother Johnny, just sing something else. Just sing a chorus. Just sing anything. I believe there's some more that's going to come right now. Right now to join these 6 or 7 that's already come. Come on, as we sing. Amen.
Just as I am with God.
Come on. Come on. Anybody else say, Brother Jack, I want to be saved today. I need Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I need to know Him. Will you come? God bless you. Are there others that are going to come? Are there others? You that raise your hand, just come. Just come to yourself. The Lord knows. The Lord's able to help you. He will minister to you in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody else that needs to come? Now, Father, I thank you for these that have come. I want somebody to get down and pray with all these. Come make sure that they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, I thank you. Thank you for these that have come. But there's still one or two more that are almost ready to come. They almost have made the step, but somehow they're afraid. I bind up that fear in Jesus' name. I bind that fear. And I say with the angels to these people, fear not, but come and see and go and tell. Oh, God, help them to do it right now in response in Jesus' name. We're going to sing one other verse. I sing one more verse for you that are almost on the verge of coming, almost ready to come. Come on as we sing. One more verse. See and join these that have come. Amen. Thank God for these that have come. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else want to come? Anybody else need to come? Thank God for those that have come. Thank the Lord for the salvation of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the gift of God. Thank God for the gift of God. Thank you, Lord. Minister, bless, lead, God, and direct. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, bless these girls. Bless these young ladies. Bless them in Jesus' name. Would all of you just lift your hands up to God right now and thank Him for the souls that have been saved today. Thank you for this Easter Sunday and for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Some of you adults might want to pray with these young ladies that are down on my right, that God would help them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We just praise you and glorify and magnify your name. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Well, what a terrific, great Easter service we've had. What the souls being saved is worth it all. And I want to encourage you all to be back tonight. This will be a great service tonight. Brother David Carpenter and the choir has worked so hard, and it's going to be an unusual blessed service. I want us to go away from this place singing in our hearts, He lives, He lives. We fear not, we come, we see, we go tell. Go tell. That's the latter part of that message. We go to tell the good news and thank God for the peace of God that people have found. Let's sing it together as we dismiss. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen.